Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Paz IM Radio. It is time to find your comfort zone. Your host for tonight's program will be Robert Brining and Jeremy Dunn. They will share life experiences as they cope every day with living with HIV. If you would like to share your story with them, please call 347-215-9442. This is Paz IM Radio. Good evening and welcome to Paz IM Radio. I am your host, Robert Brining. I am joined by my co-host, Jeremy Dunn. Are you there, Jeremy?
I'm here. Good evening, everybody.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing okay, besides the fact of having knee surgery on Friday, but hey, I'm great.
Well, that's good. At least you're still able to make it on air with us, right?
Oh, yeah. At least, you know, it's just my knee, you know. nothing super important, but it hurts.
Oh, that's interesting. So tonight we're going to talk. What'd you say?
Oh, I was going to say tell you that I'm hobbling around on crutches and I've got stitches in my leg and it's pretty.
Well, I hope you get better soon.
Me too.
Because you definitely need to walk around. But I'm sure you have Mark, you know, to help you out around the house, right?
Yes, he's my nursemaid.
You gotta love it, don't you?
It's kind of turned into that, whatever happened to Baby Jane, a jar and that airplane jar. Okay, I promise that will be the last time I make that joke because I've made it like 1,000 times over the weekend, and I'm sure he's already tired of listening to that one. Jar and the care blanche jar. Okay, anyway.
Well, tonight we're going to talk about how to meet other people in the same boat or how to meet other people who can relate to you by being either infected or affected by HIV. And, of course, one of the big ones that we would mention would be joining the Paz IM community, which is the site that me and Jeremy are a part of. And it's basically a site of friendship. It's not a dating website. So we ask that you respect its, you know, its meaning. The whole purpose is to find friends. I was in a relationship, and I didn't want to go to these other websites that always seem to be these hookup sites. And I was looking for friendship. I wanted people who I could talk to, and they would feel what I, you know, they would understand what I was going through. So, you know, check
right.
That site out if you're interested in that. I know before that we're going to touch a little bit on HIV in the news, and Jeremy seems to be my little newsboy.
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 Oh, God, that's going to be the new nickname, isn't it? Oh, Lordy, the newsboy. Well, in the news, beep, 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 right? But actually, there's a couple of interesting things that showed up in the news. One is that they found Nature magazine is publishing an article about the a enzyme that is found in every human cell, and the enzyme is called A. P O B E C hyphen 3G. So that's just a very long name for this enzyme that they found. But apparently, this enzyme is capable of stopping HIV at the very first step of replication. When the retrovirus transcribes its RNA into viral DNA. So they're looking into that to see, and I believe it's the study's author was led by, now I'm going to butcher this name, I think his name is Chao Yang Chen, of university from the University of Southern California, and it was, and they were able to show the actual atomic structure of the active portion of this enzyme. And I love the whole science aspect of it. And going down to the atomic structure, down all the way down to the atom, that, you know, that's what the atomic structure means. They go down to the individual atom of that enzyme. And what they're looking at doing with this is actually designing HIV antivirals that will utilize that enzyme to stop the HIV virus from replicating. So that's a pretty cool thing. So that's really neat. The other, a couple of other ones that have come out are, and let me get back over there.
So do me a favor, Jeremy, break that down for people in layman's terms, because not everybody gets all the scientific stuff, and basically, if you could break it down into, I don't want to say English, but break it down to where somebody who wouldn't have the scientific experience or knowledge, what would that mean?
Well, it depends on what the question is directed to.
The article.
Again, the article is talking about a particular enzyme that is found in every human cell. Not just your T cell, not your CD8 cell, but every cell, every piece of cellular structure that makes up our bodies has this enzyme in it.
Whether you're HIV positive or not.
Yes, whether you're HIV positive or not. Every human cell has it. And this particular enzyme is capable of stopping replication of the HIV virus.
Okay.
So they're looking at drugs to exploit that, the development of drugs to exploit that attribute. The other interesting thing is that they've gotten down to the atomic level. So they've got all the way down to the individual atom that makes up that enzyme. So that's pretty cool that you can get down to that small of a unit.
Yeah,
so,
right.
I mean, you look at cells, and they're made up of, you know, of structures. They have a nucleus. They have other things inside, you know, ribosomes and that kind of thing. And then you break that down into their enzymes, and you can break that down further down into the individual atoms that actually make up the enzyme, and then eventually make up the cell and whatnot.
Gotcha.
So,
okay.
Yeah, I just geeked out there for a minute.
No, I just, you know, I was one of those people who I did good in science class, but I still get lost sometimes. So that's why I wanted to make sure I understood it. You know what I mean? I just didn't want to agree with
right.
you and miss it.
Well, and you see, atoms are what make up everything in the universe as we know it. Everything
right.
is made up of atoms. So, and I'm not going to give it a science lesson, but it's cool. It's cool stuff. It's amazing
yeah,
how
it
all these small little particles that you can't even see make up everything around you.
That's really
cool. That's pretty cool. Another interesting story that came out today is from Bay County, Michigan, and they're talking about, and we've been saying this over and over again, is how sex education across the country just does not go far enough. And what's interesting about this story is that in Bay County, where 264 teens got pregnant in 2005 and at least 100 contracted a sexually transmitted infection last year in 2008, they are not allowed to teach that birth control and the use of condoms are okay to prevent disease. It's a huge no-no. So they are only talking about the very basics of things in schools. And most districts, they don't even teach any kind of sex education beyond the state-mandated instruction on HIV and AIDS and sexually transmitted infections. So that to me is startling. that where they teens are hungry for this information. And in Bay County, for example, the Bay City District wants, and they have a fairly conservative constituency, and there's a committee that actually oversees some of this, a lot of this stuff, especially for sex ed. And the committee feels that it's more important for sex education to stay in the home and have the parents provide that education, whereas parents aren't giving the information. So kids, teenagers, are looking to each other for the information, and a lot of the times they're getting false information. So, I mean, it's no surprise, I don't think, to any of us.
And I think that's why it's so important that people go to these schools and do, you know, speaking engagements like Bob Bowers and Marvin Brown, people who go and do these public speaking events, you know what I mean? Like, they're bringing the real truth to it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's like they're going to talk about all the things that they've experienced, which are things that, of course, people that are in high school or newly in high school are not – have yet to experience or have put themselves in that situation to have to experience, you know, what it would be like to use a condom or not use a condom.
Right, and I think it goes deeper than that. I think that skims a lot of the surface. I think it really goes back, you know, and we can talk all night about this. This is a great topic, but teenagers are going to have sex. We know that, but they need the right information, and we need not to be so. I think societally is that a word? I think as a society, as communities, we need not to be so. We need not to look at sex as such. You know, what am I trying to say here? A private thing. You know, because a lot of folks say, you know, it's your private area, you know, you don't want to touch that, you don't want to look at somebody else's, yet kids nationally, the median age for the first sexual intercourse for boys is 16.9 years old, or so about 17. And for girls, it's about 17 and a half. So, and in 2003, 63% of 12th graders had, and 33% of 9th graders had sex. So in 2003, so think about that. 12th graders who are, 16, 17 year olds, 62% of them were already sexually active. 9th graders. I think I remember when I was in 9th grade, 33% of 9th graders are having sex. So that's national. That's a national average. So think about all the misinformation that they're getting, you know. We need to be honest with our students. We have to.
Right, and if the schools aren't going to do it, then the parents should do it. The parents should talk to kids about sex the same way that they talk to kids about drugs. You know what I mean? I feel like they should. Because when they sit down, when I sat down and I was told about, you know, different kinds of drugs, I was told everything. You know what I mean? There was nothing that was filtered. And it seems like when it comes to sex as a society, we all filter everything because we don't want to, you know, touch that sensitive area, or you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
It's,
you know,
just,
and
I don't know. I'm not a parent, but
it's a double-edged sword, or it's a catch-22. The parents want to teach it in the home, right?
Right.
But yet they don't. They don't teach it in the home. So, you know, I think it's a hard discussion to bring up because people get embarrassed and and look away and look down.
And it's not something that we should be embarrassed about.
Absolutely
not. If your kid,
not.
If the statistics show that your kid has, there's a possibility that your kid's out there having sex, then you should be able to talk to your kid about it. It shouldn't be something that makes a parent uncomfortable.
Right.
I mean, at least in my aspect, I'm not, like I said, I'm not a parent, but I think I would be very open-minded and speak very, you know what I mean, about everything with my kid.
Right.
I would think I would, but then again, if I was put in that situation, I don't know.
And parents, and I can speak from experience, you know, my parents didn't really talk to me about sex because they thought they were protecting me. You know, they, like, and I can also remember my parents think that the thought was, oh, well, if you don't get a girl pregnant, you know, hey, you know, that was the big thing. But
right.
it's just not about pregnancy anymore. It never really was, but I mean, there's so much more than pregnancy. There's syphilis, there's gonorrhea, there's chlamydia, there's, you know, the things that go drippy, 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 and they're gross.
Right.
There are things, you know, herpes, you know, it's all these things that can happen, but it's also a very confusing time. Especially in the eighth and ninth grades and all the way through high school, our body, you know, your bodies are changing. You're learning how to become an adult, really, and you're thrown in this mix of all these other people that are around you that are your same age, and you want to touch, you want to experiment, you want to do all of these things, but nobody's telling you how to do it safely, number one. No one's telling you where to do it, you know, how, you know, no one's giving you the information that you need. So that's a very important piece to this whole sex thing. You know, it's understanding it's letting your kid, I think, and understanding your own sexuality. Sexuality is a very difficult thing to understand sometimes. You know, do I like girls? Do I like boys? Do I like both? You know, it's what is it? So it's all about exploration and learning what to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and one of the things that somebody in the chat room said is that they were a teenager when they had their kids, so they didn't even really know, you know what I mean, what it was all about at the time, because their parents didn't talk to them.
And that's just it. It's kids having kids, you know.
Right.
So I don't want to say it's a problem, but it's certainly something that we need to look at, you know, because kids need to understand the ramifications of their actions, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to blame everything on the media. I'm not going to blame everything on, you know, TV or other things, but kids want to keep, you know, I always equate kids with trying to keep up with the Joneses. Oh, well, they have a white pair of sneakers. I need to go out and get the better pair of white sneakers. I need to get that new brand of you know, shirts and things. It's the same way with sex, you know?
Absolutely.
So,
it's a topic that needs to be discussed more in. And I think, you know, in a way, this radio show is discussing it a little bit more and putting it more out there, so...
Right. Oh, and one other thing is that there's a double standard also when it comes to sex. Is that boys are praised for nailing that girl, and girls are called sluts.
Right.
So we're sending mixed messages that it's okay for the boy, but it's not okay for the girl.
Right. The guy's the gigolo.
Right. Oh, rock on, you're the man. Oh, whore, you slut. You know, and it's a fact of life.
Yes.
So
it is, and it's weird. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to why it's like that.
Right. It doesn't. It doesn't make sense. Why is it good for one and not the other? So anyway, so I got up, you know, and I can spend an hour talking about that, but but it you know, it's anyway, that was the story of the day out of Bay County, Michigan, that sex education does not go far enough.
I mean, I remember when I was in school, it was like a one-day thing. I went to a Catholic grade school in high school, and I was raised Catholic, and it was like the unspoken word when you were in health class learning about it. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's always sexual intercourse. You know what I mean? Like, they won't even just say sex.
Well, they make it so clinical. You know, they make it so clinical, and they also what else do they do? They also make it that forbidden fruit.
Right.
You know what I mean? So when they say no, 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 what's the big deal? I want to know what's going on. Right? I want to know why it's so bad to do. So you go and do it. It's like,
no,
well, what's
exactly.
That's actually kind of cool. You
exactly.
Know, so.
Exactly, because when you're a kid in high school, that's what you do. You do what's cool, what you're told not to do.
Exactly. You know, all kids do.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, I still do that. Someone tells me not to do something, I do it anyway. You know, and then
yeah,
I get in trouble later. But
so you have one more story for us, or?
You know what? I think we'll just let's move on. I think.
Okay, that sounds good. So we're going to move on to meeting others in the same boat. again, like I said, one of the ways you can do that is through the PosAM community. We have affected people and infected people. I basically searched the net to find other people like me. Like I went, like I said, specifically from my name and my disease to find somebody who was like me, and then that's how I found the pirate, Bob Bowers. But, I mean, it's so easy. I mean, it's not so easy, but there's, like, support groups that are usually around in your, if you look around in your city for the clinics and stuff, you'll be able to find support groups, I think. I mean, it's more than likely in a lot of places nowadays. Don't you agree?
Mm-hmm. Well, I do. And I think really what it kind of comes down to here is, you know, one, becoming comfortable with looking for that support. And whether it be other people who are positive, or if you have people in your support group, and a support group can be, you know, your family, friends, your priest, your doctors, you know, whoever you can confide in, and I think that's where the support comes down to. But I think what also it comes down to is finding people who are like me. You know, am I the only one out there? And I think that's what we're looking for. You know,
right. I have a little statistic here that says 86% of support group participants, men and women, both showed significant improvements in distress serenity. So, I mean, to me, support groups, you know, they help people living with HIV maintain, you know, safe sexual practices by going there and talking about certain things. And it just makes, I think, people all around their behavior better when they feel like they can relate to people. Because I know for long, long times before I came out of the HIV closet, before I came out of the gay closet, I was so alone and so, like, not having anyone around me that I could actually talk to. I remember getting teased in school. You know what I mean? Like, they called me gay in school, and I was like, how do they know this? Like, I never, ever said it, but I guess I had my little ways. But it's just very interesting now that I know people that are so similar to me. It's just such a great thing to be able to relate to someone.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the human condition, isn't it? Wanting to belong, wanting to be accepted. And that's just part of our species, It's we want to belong to a group. We don't want to be shunned. We don't want to be
discriminated.
What's that?
I said discriminated.
Yeah, discriminated or alienated. You know, I would take discrimination over alienation any day. You know, I don't want to be, and I guess that's just me. It's being pushed out of the community. We want to belong, and I think I've read in some psychology textbook somewhere when I was in college that there are some folks who and one of the chatters, one of the guys in the chat room is talking about this. We want to be accepted. There are people who want to be accepted so much that sometimes they put themselves into situations that are harmful to them. It's because they want to be accepted, you know?
Yes.
So,
I mean,
and that's why it's so important to find people who are like you or like oneself, and to figure out that, well, you know, I'm purple with pink polka dots and I have pointed ears. There's someone else over there just like me.
Absolutely.
I'm not the only one. It's that feeling of belonging, of community.
Absolutely. I mean, I just coming from going, you know, wanting to be accepted, you know what I mean? At first I was the boy in my family. I had two sisters, you know, I was the middle child, so I have that middle child syndrome where, like, I always felt like I didn't get enough. I wasn't the oldest and I wasn't the youngest. So I always felt like there was something, I was always left out of a loop for some reason. And then, you know, going into school the same way, and then once coming out and being, you know, accepting myself for being gay and opening up about that, I found that even in the gay community, they discriminate so much. They're so, like, they stereotype everybody, and they discriminate so much against people with HIV. And I find it offensive when I was, you know, not with my partner, when I was single, I would see people in certain rooms, like, and they would have that, you know, must be disease-free. You know what I mean? Or I'm disease-free, you must be too. And I find that, like, offensive. I understand that's what you want, but I don't think you need to broadcast that you're not interested in that, because it shows hate to me. It shows, well, not hate, but just that you're not interested in somebody like me. And, you know, do you understand what I'm saying? Or do you not see anything wrong with that?
Well, it's not that I don't see anything wrong with it. I think I think we all do some of that. I mean, I know a lot of POS guys that won't date anybody who's not positive. So they stereosort in that way. I think when you limit your pool of individuals like that, you limit your experiences of humankind. So that to me is disheartening. And, you know, I really think gay men have, and this is probably going to be a horribly, grossly overstated generalization. So, and I just want to put that out there. But in my experiences with gay men, some of them can be, really, for lack of a good term, is bitchy. And if you don't fit their whatever they're looking for, you know, their little checklist that they go off.
you know they got that checklist.
you know, it's true. It's like, oh, well, your hair is parted on the wrong side, or this or that, or the other thing. You know,
it's like they're going food shopping or something.
Right. You know, it's true.
It is so true. Because, you know what I mean, I remember going into the city and we would walk past this one coffee shop, and there was always these older men who would sit there and they would be drinking their coffee outside. But when you would walk by, and I would be like maybe 20, 21, 22, I would feel like a piece of meat. You know what I mean?
Well,
like
you
just,
were.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
When you're 25 or older, it's all downhill.
Right.
Then
that's
you become
one thing,
a daddy.
Well, the one thing that always kills me is when the gay people don't accept the transgender people. When I'm like, how could you not accept people, you know, who are transgender when you know what it's like to be different and not be accepted? How can you force that, you know, discrimination or that hatred towards someone? It doesn't make sense to me.
Transgenders are oftentimes, you know, shut out of both communities, straight and gay. Because, you know, I got to say this, is that I think transgendered folks really know who they are because they have the courage to stand up and do and be who they are. They're not, that's what I think.
Right. And I applaud them because, you know what I mean, I don't know if I would be able to do that.
Well,
if I was in that situation and I was born that way, I don't know if I would have the courage to come out of that. You know what I mean? It would be very difficult. Very difficult. I mean, I remember I was just watching, I'm a reality show junkie. I was watching America's Next Top Model, and one of the girls on there was transgender. And I remember, like, the very first episode, all the girls in the house, like, she was very open about it, you know, and she had no problem telling everybody when they asked questions. But the first episode, they were there, like, going, oh, I don't think she should be here. She has something extra. You know what I mean? Like, cracking jokes about her. And I was just like, that poor girl, she's going on TV and putting herself out there. I forget her name. I wish I knew her name. It was like one of those Greek god names she had. But, I mean, it just really bothers me when I see other people who do that. It's just hurtful. Hurtful people.
It is. It absolutely is. And I just want to bring this kind of back to where
we started.
to where we started here is, you know, trying to find that supportive community who is like us, who understands. What's interesting I think what's interesting is that when you're HIV positive and you're talking with a negative person might be able to sympathize with what you're going through, but not really empathize. Because they don't know what you're feeling. They can't know what you're feeling.
I agree.
And I think, you know, I think there's something to be said about having HIV positive and negative friends all around you. You know, just have, but it's finding that support when you need it. Someone you can cry on, you know, and that's the important part of that. I think that's the important part of all support.
Yeah, definitely having that, because like my partner's negative and I'm positive, and it's tough, and I know he tries to understand the best that he can, but it's just very hard. It's like I can't even explain it to him because it's just something that you feel. When you're diagnosed with it, it's just something that overcomes you, and it's just this feeling. I have this feeling of, like, every once in a while I have this depression, and I'm just like, I'm a bitch. Like, you don't want to mess with me, like, and I'm snappy, and I take it out on him at home, and he gets so mad. And it's just like, I can't explain it to him. And, like, the one part in my poem that I have on the website is, the one quote that I wanted to make importantly is, it's not about walking in my shoes. It's about taking a second and standing in them. You know what I mean? And looking around and seeing, you know what I mean? What our situation is. Anybody can walk in my shoes. I want you to stand in them and feel my pain. That's what people in the POSAM community have done for me. They explain everything to me. They help me out so much and help me grow. It's just amazing to have friends like y'all.
Thank y'all.
Y'all.
God, it's a weird thing, and I don't know how to describe it. But when you're sitting there, and they give you the results, and you sit there, and you're like, "Oh God, is this really happening to me?" And I think for this, I just was for a few weeks there. I didn't know which. I was shocked. And kind of went through a daze. Somebody in here said that they were in a fog for a few weeks after they learned that they might be positive. But you are in a fog when you figure out that you're positive. Just for a few weeks, just going, "Oh my God," everything I looked at, and everyone I looked at, everything that I touched, it was different. Everything was different.
I agree. And Mark makes a good point. He says, and we should be highly suspicious of any HIV negative, person who is not a medical doctor but gives advice outside. That's something that you should be somewhat hesitant to do, but you know what I mean? Depending on the situation and who this person is in your life, I would definitely always approach somebody with caution.
Yeah, always. Even HIV positive people, I would have. you get some that come out and that come up with these really weird things, and you just say, "Look, dude, I trust the science. I put my faith in the science of it all." But that's another topic for another day.
So if anyone wants to call in, you can give us a call at 347-215-9442, and you can share your story with us. I know we have some new members in there. I just want to say hi to everybody. Ouch, I just knocked over something. I wanted to say hi to everybody in the chat room. We have Jimbo's in the chat room. I don't know if he likes me calling him that, but hey to Jim. We also have Mark, and for some reason I just lost everything. Mark, Unruly Girl, Dale, Miss Just Chillin', we know who that is, and our guest 2095. I just wanted to say hi to everyone. If you have any questions in the chat room, go ahead, type them in. That's what it's there for. So other than that, Jeremy, how are you doing today? How's the weather where you're at?
How's the weather where I'm at?
How's the weather?
The weather, I don't know. I haven't been outside. I can't walk. My poor leg. It's kosher out here, I think. I think it was sunny. It was like 70-something today, I think.
Well, that's cool. The one thing I wanted to mention to people is that if you you do go to a support group their first time and you don't find it comfortable, look for another support group. I went to a support group the first time, and I found it to be very uncomfortable. I felt I was the youngest person in the room, and I felt like everybody was there and they were having a tea party. Like it was everybody just talking about their just going on vacation and everything, and it just kind of upset me because I wanted facts. I wanted stories.
Right.
So if you don't find one, you can always go to another one.
And if you're not comfortable with a group, find a therapist that you would trust. And again, therapist, you gotta have that trust with them as well. So it's important to have. I think everyone needs someone to talk to. Everyone needs somebody. Isn't that a song or something? and you have to have, you got to have someone to talk to. You got to have, because loneliness, being alone, at least for me, would have been the absolute worst thing that I could have done, and is turn inward and shut out the world, because Lord knows where I would have gone from there. But I was lucky. I found someone I could talk to. I did find a support group, and that was nice. And it was just nice to be able to sit in a circle of people that knew what I was going through. I didn't go for a long, long time. I went till as long as until I was done with it, I think. Until I got what I needed. And I think that's what a support group is all about, is getting what you need.
Right, and everybody needs something different from it.
Right, absolutely. So, you know, they're not all bad, but, you know, it's, you got to find what you're, it's individual.
So. Yeah, just like everything. but the one thing I did want to mention, hello, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. The one thing I wanted to mention is two things, actually. Cowboy Larry just uploaded a video onto the PosIM community, and if you're a member, I advise you to check it out. It's very, very cool. He talks about being a survivor for over 20 years and how he manages with it. So if you want to check that out, you can check that out in the video section. And then I also uploaded this very, very, very out, it should have been out so long ago, this PSA, and I don't know if you saw it there, Jeremy, or not, but it's a PSA for people who say that things are gay. And
Bob, hold on. There's actually a question that came through on the chat room.
Go ahead.
How does one find a support group for HIV-positive people? It depends where you're at. Depends on the size of the city that you're in. If you don't have a computer, you can find one, you know, in your library or some. You can always look one up on the internet. You can, and you would want to call. You would want to search for AIDS service organizations or a keyword AIDS. Keyword HIV. Your local clinics might have something around. Might have something. The Yellow Pages.
One of the things that he can actually do is if there should be some sort of small, even if it's very small. There should be some AIDS organization in your general area. You can go to that AIDS organization and be like, look, I would be interested. It may be a lot for you to handle, but I would be interested in starting one in your community because it's not there. And you could ask them to maybe use their space or something like that, because I know a lot of places in Philadelphia, which is a bigger city than where he's at, I'm sure, doesn't, you know, and we have a lot of places that allow us to use their stuff for free support groups.
Right. You know, some might not, you know, it depends, but the Yellow Pages, I would talk, if you can't find one on the internet and you have a doctor, talk to your doctor, see if they have any idea. So that's, there's some ideas there. That's all the ideas I have at the point.
One of the people in the chat room say try church or religious groups. They could possibly have some sort of support group for it too, depending on your church or religious group.
Yep.
So that's always a good thing. And then again, on the PosAM community, we have a group chat every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. that you can also participate in since he's a member of the community as well. But back to what I was saying about the video is, there's a video, I don't know if you've seen it, Jeremy, it was played on The View, and that's where it got my attention, and it's for people, it's a public service announcement for people who say, that's so gay. You know how you have your friends and they say something and then they're like, oh, that's so gay. And they don't realize how much that's doing damage to somebody. That's like, I don't want to refer it to a certain word, but I mean, to me, it's a word that you don't use to describe that something negative, especially when I take pride in me being gay. And I find that my friends, my close friends say, that's so gay. And it's just, it's not right. It's not right. What do you think, Jeremy?
What do I think? Well, I always call him on it.
So do I. I said, I go, do you know what you just said?
Okay. I usually say, do you know what do you mean by that?
Yeah, right.
it's weird. It's different. It's like, so what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that, so gay? You know, it's like,
because you're not saying it's so happy.
Exactly. It's like, what does that mean to you? So, you know, I just challenged them on it.
But the public services are perfect. I mean, if you didn't see them, there's actually three of them. One has Wanda Sykes in it, and then the other one has Hillary Duff in it. And then the one that they actually showed on The View is, it looks like the girls work at like a Walmart knockoff store with their blue vests, and it's very, very cool, and I advise you to check it out. It really makes you think. You know what I mean? What if the word that you use to describe yourself, people use it to describe something negative. How would
right.
you feel?
You know, and that's, you know, been dealing with it. You know, I hate to say sometimes you got to have thick skin, but sometimes you do.
Oh, yeah, well, I agree. Sometimes.
And you got to learn how to pick your battles. But I think that that there are, I don't know, people are interesting out there because they just I don't know what am I trying to say here? They just don't get it sometimes, you know?
Yeah, I think that. The person that you become in life is basically, it's because of who you're raised.
Mm-hmm.
So if you grow up in a household that maybe uses the word gay to say something, or maybe is a racist family and thinks that white people shouldn't be with black people, or it's all in how you're raised. Because I know, like, my grandmother and my mother were raised different ways than I was raised. You know what I mean? Like, I was raised and I was told, you know, that you just shouldn't mix, you know, races and things like that. But I took it in and then kind of like regurgitated it out in a positive way, thinking, you know what, I'm going to stop the cycle with me. There may be some discrimination, you know, my family may not agree on this or that, but once they experience it and once somebody has it in their family, they find it very hard to still have that hate towards those people.
Right, right. And you know, I think we all try, like I said, it goes back to that basic human instinct of wanting to belong.
Right, and if you can't belong in your family, then it's like 10 times harder to go out into the world and try to find somewhere to belong.
Yep. You got it.
So much heart.
And there are some times when, you know, I know some folks whose families have turned their backs on them, you know, but so those folks went out and found their own families, you know, chose their own families, if you will. You know, and that's why I think about friends. And because we choose our friends, but we don't choose our families. And so that's an interesting, you know, it's an interesting concept because we don't choose our families. We go out and we look for people who are like us, and that's why we find the friends that we have, I think.
Yeah, you're attracted to people because of likenesses that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Very yep. much so. I mean, I know I have great friends. You know what I mean? I mean, not even people that I have on the website. I mean, just my general group of friends. I always picked good friends. I never really, I don't really think I ever, there was a stage when I hung out with the bad crowd that did bad things, but that was like, you know, that was me being a kid. Once you grow up and everything, your friends, and like you said, are your family, really.
Right.
Because it's yep. hard. It's hard to, for me, it's still hard for me to open up to my mom. I it's just not something that I can do 100% because I feel like there's always something that's going to upset her because
right.
I'm so new to her. You know what I mean? Like to have a gay son and then to have a gay son who had a drug addiction and then a gay son who has HIV. It's just like everything's so new to her, so I don't want to push any buttons.
Oh, great. You
know what I mean? But I love her. I mean,
all at once.
But I love her because she went from somebody who thought me being gay was just me not finding the right girl to somebody who loves my partner, calls my partner her son-in-law. You know what I mean? Somebody who
right.
actually joined the Pos I Am community. You know what I mean? She joined my website because she knows how much it means to me. You know what I mean? And once you see somebody who loves passion somewhere, you have to accept it. You can't deny somebody's passion.
Okay, explain that a little bit more, because I don't think I followed you.
Well,
on
basically,
that
one. my passion is helping people through the website, and my mom had a very hard time with me going public. You know what I mean? Like she didn't really like to talk about it. We don't really talk about HIV at all. It's very like, you know, everything's good. My counts are good. I don't have to go on meds. That's like the conversation that we have. But now since she joined the community and she's showing an interest in the radio show and different things like that, I have a whole new respect for my mom. You know what I mean? Like she's becoming somebody who I didn't think she would ever become because she was raised a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it blows my mind every day to see that my mom's growing and she's learning things from me, her own son. I don't know. It's a wonderful...
What is it they say? What is it the teacher says in The King and I? But the most famous lesson is by the pupils you will be taught, getting to know you.
Getting to
know you. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I love our show tomb sections.
Getting to know all about you.
It's taken my mom a few years to accept, you know, me being gay and allowing me to talk about that with the family. And the HIV slowly is, you know, progressing to my other, you know, my aunts and my uncles. And not everybody knows, but the people that matter and the people who I know will accept me know. So it's tough.
Right. And it was, you know, and it is. It's a tough. No parent, whether you're gay or straight, wants to hear that your child is gay. No parent does.
It's a shame. It shouldn't be like that.
Well, you're right. It shouldn't. But I don't think it's because they're not. It's not so much of a gay thing. It's how they're going to be, how that kid is going to be treated, how your child is going to be treated when in the real world. Because your parents really want to protect you, most parents.
Right.
And when I told my parents that I was gay, my mom, she cried for like 3 weeks every time she looked at me. And it wasn't because I was gay. It was because all of a sudden, I killed that image that they had of me, of getting married, having the kids, you know, that whole thing. There's this whole image that they build up in their minds of them, and it's all of a sudden that got taken away. So that's hard for parents to understand and to wrap their heads around. because
Are you the only child?
No, I'm a twin.
Oh, you are a twin?
Yeah, I'm a twin. You didn't know that? You knew that.
Twin brother or twin sister?
I have a twin brother.
No, I did not know that.
Yeah,
you learn something new every day.
Look at that. And my twin is straight. He's 2 minutes older than me. And we had, you know, so I said, Mom, there's Josh. He can give you all the grandkids you want. And then it turns out he doesn't want kids.
Oh, man.
So my poor mother. You know, and back to that whole finding your identity, let me tell you, fighting to find my identity being a twin was tough because I was always Joe's son or Josh's brother or, you know, I never had my own. No, there's not two of us. There's just one of me. I've caused a stir in the chat room. But,
yeah, I see.
But I never had my own identity and until I got out of high school and stuff. But so I know what that means, you know, to go out and try to be a part of something. So, but yes, I'm a twin.
I'm still in shock. Of all the times I talked to you, you never told me that before.
I thought
and I don't
did.
Think I've ever. I don't think I've even ever read it in your blog or anything.
Oh. Huh. Well, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, listeners of the world, Jeremy Dunn is a twin. His brother is 2 minutes older. I am much, much better looking than he is. God, no, my parents couldn't handle it if both of us were gay. Are you kidding? Wait.
My Lord. Well, you can always adopt, right?
That's right. Yeah, I don't want kids either.
You don't want kids?
Kids have a place and they're not, kids have their place and they're not in mine. So.
I want one so bad.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I want to adopt so bad, but I can't do it until I'm financially set. You know what I mean? I can't even afford myself, let alone a baby.
It's the whole thought of diapers and feeding something else, and God, they're with you for the rest of your life.
Oh my! So we're getting down to our last minute.
Yes,
Jeremy, what else you want to plug your website real quick?
Sure, sure. If anybody's interested, come on over to see my website at www.positivelyspeaking.com. That is POZ with a Z. It's positivelyspeaking.com. So come on over, check out the site, and leave a comment on one of the blogs and give me some. You know, pop me an email if you'd like, because you can always email me off the site as well. And, Rob?
Sounds good. And you can learn more about me, Robert, at pozim.com. That's POZIAM.com. If you're not a member, please join the community. Check it out. It's for people who are infected and affected. Also, real quick, we are going to have a POZIM team that is walking in the Philly AIDS Walk. If you would like to join the team, you're more than welcome to. You can go to the community and check that out. If you would like to donate, since maybe you're not walking and you would still like to make a small donation, they're still accepted. You can contact me at robert@pozim.com, and I'll be more than happy to send you that. Unruly Girl's going to be walking with me on the AIDS Walk on next Sunday, so I'm going to be all pumped up after the AIDS Walk and then, you know, coming here to do a radio show. It's going to be it's going to be a really good show, I think.
Good.
Yeah, I'm excited. Get myself out there and get some exercise. Yeah, I love the AIDS Walk.
Are you excited?
8.5 miles. I'm excited.
It's 8.5 miles?
Yeah.
The AIDS Walk is 8.5. Most of these people have AIDS and they can't walk a mile. 8.5 miles?
Right, Jeremy, we're about to get out of here, so you folks have a good one. We'll see you next week.
All right,
bye-bye.
You too. Thanks a lot so much. Bye-bye, everybody.